words of my lips and the meditations of our hearts be ever pleasing in your sight. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. As I said earlier, it's great to be gathered with Christ's people in this place. It's great to be home, having been in Sorrento and now Kamloops way and then Saskatoon. I can tell you that as Air Canada brought me across the water yesterday, yes, nice and green and good to be back in this neighborhood. Came right to the church. I can't even, don't even think I had, oh, I had to pick up a bulletin, something very important. It really, truly is good to be home and with you. I want to tell a little story about a trip to Ireland that Marion and I took a few years ago. And among other things on this trip, we really found that God guided us. You know, we did a fair bit of spontaneous stuff. We weren't on a tour. And so we bumped into somebody at an ice cream shop selling us ice cream. Hard to surprise that we would be there, right? She was very nice, and she said, well, you know, there's these peninsulas, there's several of them, but this one and this one and this one are really loaded up with tour buses, and they're very busy. But the Barra Peninsula, it's a little less traveled, and it's great, and you ought to check it out, because there's all kinds of little things there. So, among other things, we had a day where we went into a little coffee shop, bookstore kind of place on the side of the road, and again, a very nice woman taking care of the store said to us, we were asking about standing stones and different things, and she said, oh yeah, it's not very well signed, you know, our community doesn't do a very good job of promoting it, but if you go down and turn at the unhappy conifers, which was a phrase you could only understand after you saw the unhappy conifers, they truly were. And so you turned there, and then you went up and around and here and there, and you parked in a field, and you climbed over a stile. Well, anybody know what a stile is? One of these things where you climb the fence, kind of. And there we were in the middle of this place with these standing stones. And it was a beautiful Saturday morning, I happen to remember. And off, there was a valley, like we were kind of in the bottom of the valley, I guess. And a little while later, I could hear some whistling. And I looked, and on the trail came some sheep and their shepherd. And he was whistling, and I guess voice, whistle, same thing. These sheep, and he had a dog, you know, he had the standard sheep dog, I guess. And down the trail they came, and it was a joy to watch them and to have it made real for a moment, the scripture that we just heard today, to see it and experience it and watch this man come down the trail in this twisty little trail. And the sheep behaved fairly well, but this whole concept of if we go off the trail, we can get pulled back was somewhat made real. So it was just a God moment for us, and it also reminded me of another friend I have from out Qualicum Beachway, a man named Simon, who is in fact a sheep farmer. And I used to be a theological student there, and I saw him recently and talked to him, and we had great memories of him running into the church. He was in the choir, and he'd just make it at the last minute because, of course, he had to deal with the sheep. And the sheep may listen to the shepherd's voice, but they don't watch the clock all that carefully sometimes. So he was, anyway, he just smiles when you ask him about his sheep. And the joy of a true shepherd, and I know that some of you probably know some in this neighborhood, people that take care of sheep. So it's a really actually a good metaphor. Some people don't like it because they think sheep are dumb and we're being compared as being sheep. And I don't really buy that. I think the care and love and nurturing is what it's really about. And so that beautiful piece of scripture that says, I know them and they follow me, I give them eternal life and they will never perish, verse 28. Let's explore that a little bit and talk a little bit about this promise of eternal life. Isn't it curious to see that when the actual Son of God, the true Messiah of the world, arrived here and lived here, he did not look to have trumpets and parades and big noises and credentials. In fact, he was adverse to putting himself out there, so much so that the people kept checking in and kept begging him to come clean as to whether he was the one or not. Because even those who spent the most time with him seemed to still carry a bit of doubt. Apparently, Jesus was content to let his actions speak for themselves. He would just always point to, well, you've been with me, you've seen what I've done. He allows himself to become a window through which they may look. And they look through that window and they're able to see no less than the one true God, God the Father. And so Jesus presents himself as a window. We have opportunity to look through that window and come to know God the Father in a better way. If you look through Jesus to see the Father with whom he was and is one, then the mere fact that you are interested and willing to believe indicates that something else is already stirring up in your heart. It's a bit like each of us being here today. You wouldn't be here if God hadn't stirred you up and said, 9 o'clock, St. Mary, gotta get moving. There's something special that takes place when we as Christians are prompted to come together and worship together. We could worship at home, we could sit in our yards, we could look at the beauty of nature, and some folks do, and that's fine, but there's something about the gathered community, and I think God plants that, infuses that in our hearts for us, and he takes the initiation. He's the initiator, he's the action taker. It's the same with baptism. It's all about God. It's not our human thing that we do. It's God coming into the hearts of the person being baptized and the congregation gathered and raising us up and, again, infusing in our hearts that special love that he has for us. God has a special place in his heart for you and for me, for us. Many people think, and we've been taught for years, that those who are unwilling to believe that no overt amount of talk by Jesus or anything would change their hearts. Well, I have trouble with that. I listened to Psalmist in Psalm 23, and we see that God continually cares for us. He provides places of rest and contentment. He offers the peace that transcends human understanding. And when we come into creation, when we come beside quiet waters, when we come into green pastures, and those may be literal, they may be like the green pasture where we saw the shepherd, or they may be a moment in your heart when you're in a busy, chaotic moment and you close your eyes, or like this morning when we had a few moments of silence in various times during the worship. It may be then that we go beside quiet waters and into green pastures. So it seems logical that God infuses the Spirit of God, the invitation to all. It's a wide open offering. He blesses us from birth, and some of us choose to wander off the path. Most of us choose to wander off the path. Scripture actually says that we all fall short of the glory of God and sin. And yet, God pulls us back. Many people are either don't care, or they're so content that they would just say, I'm fine, all is well, if we ask them about faith or we ask them about their relationship with God. Don't need them, doing well. Well, God is a patient God, and God finishes what God starts. And so if you've ever felt nudged by God, you will know. Or if you've heard the voice of God at one time or another in your life, you know something about the fact that God waits, and the journey is sometimes long and it's sometimes twisty, and yet God is there. So for some folks, they may seem as if they don't need God in their lives, or they may say they don't, and yet I think that most people at one time or another will come before God and find that they in fact do welcome this God who's probably lived in their hearts all along. And the singular Son of God, he and God the Father are truly one and the same. As Nicodemus said earlier in John's Gospel, in the third chapter, the only person who could do these things that Jesus does would have to be sent from God, and by extension would all but have to be God as well. So the next step is the evidence to the disciples and the gifts of the power of God. So Jesus coming into the lives of the disciples and giving them, anointing them and giving them the prayer for the power, for the responsibility, for the gifts of being able to go out and do ministry. And so Peter, in the Acts reading, in this early church reading, comes in and he raises Tabitha from the dead. Unheard of, right? He needed to come in, he needed to clear the room, he needed to reflect on the good things that Tabitha had done. She too is named as a disciple, so there is women disciples in the Bible. And he raises her. And so this power that was kind of transferred, I guess you could say, from Jesus to the disciples. And as this miracle takes place and he says, Tabitha, get up. Imagine for a moment being in that room. And she stands. Some scholars wonder if it's the same story was attributed to Jesus in a different place, and there's different stories about that. Some of the liberation theologians, Gonzalez, Justo Gonzalez, notes that Luke often links it to the story of a man and a woman, that he does that often, and I think that there's something in that. And that Peter goes off and becomes a tanner, stays with Simon, an occupation that's considered unclean by many because it involved working with the skin of dead animals. But this rather unusual story connects us to Jesus via Peter and via Tabitha. The kingdom of God, our place in the eternal life, is in the here and now and the still to come. God is eternal. God transcends time. God doesn't watch the clock and have to be finished worship at 10:30 or anything like that. God is with us. God never leaves us. God sent the Lamb, which became the great shepherd that we heard about in Revelation, and God promises us that we're always included in his story. So I end with the beautiful ending to the psalm and say to you that surely, 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 we will dwell in the house of God forever, including today, tomorrow, and forever. And for that, we give thanks to God. Amen.